On the last Fresh Air, Anthony Gourdin told us he's been out on his own ever since Little Anthony and the Imperials broke up in 1975. He has a solo singing career and has also done some acting. Right now, he's singing contemporary songs, standards, and some of his old hits at an extended run at the Ballroom in New York. Little Anthony and the Imperials' hits included Tears on My Pillow, Going Out of My Head, Hurt So Bad, I'm on the Outside, and Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop. In part two of our conversation, we look back at the making of some of those records.
Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Bop, shimmy, shimmy, bop. Shimmy, shimmy, Coco Bop, shimmy, shimmy, bop. Sitting in a native hut all alone in blue. Sitting in a native hut wondering what to do. Along came a native girl, did a native dance. It was like in paradise, put me in a trance. Going shimmy, shimmy, Coco Bop, shimmy, shimmy, bop.
Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop was Little Anthony's second hit, recorded in 1960. I asked him how he felt about recording a novelty song.
I hated it. I think the song is dumb. I still do. What is a Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop? We didn't even know what it was. But George Goldner was a very persuasive man. For one reason, he was the president of the company, and we had to do what he told us to do. And he, you know, he leaned on us a little bit, so to speak, and told us we're going to record that, whether we like it or not. And so we did it, and we went and did the best we could with it. Well, he was right. The song was a huge hit.
Do you like it any better now?
Nope. No, George really was a real good teacher for me. He was the one that told me, you have a high-sounding voice, almost, you know, like a girl. I want you to utilize that. And he said, I have a natural lisp. You know, my tongue gets tied there. And he liked that. He thought it was great. And he sort of emphasized that, and he got me to enunciate my words. And he told me, I'll never forget that, he says, just like Nat King Cole. Now, it just happened that Nat King Cole was my idol. So I turned the words, you don't remember me. Everything was pronounced with this great diction. you gotta deal with this, you know, kid from Brooklyn. And in those days, man, rock and roll, the Stone Ages of rock and roll, nobody was singing anything that anybody could understand. We were a natural. We had to hit, man. We had to make it. I come out there with this, you don't remember me? 'Twas not so long ago. You know, I sound like some British kid, you know? Well, it worked.
The production changed in the records you did in the 1960s. Songs like Hurt So Bad and Going Out of My Head.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, great arrangements behind you. Strings, French horns, timpani.
I'm glad you ask. I'm glad you mentioned that. You see, there are two Little Anthony and the Imperials here. The first Little Anthony and Imperials in 1958 really came out of the New York area. We were just a ram-a-lam-a, bing-bang, rabba-dabba-dabba-dabba, shimmy-shimmy, coca-bop type group. And that was great. But then you grow.
I know you don't know what I'm going through. Standing here looking at been making out okay. She's in love, don't stand in her way. Well, let me tell you that it hurts so bad. It makes me feel so sad. It's gonna hurt so bad if you walk away. You stay and let me make it up to you. Stay. I'll do anything you want me to. You loved me before, please love me again. I can't let you go back to him. Please don't go, please don't go. It's so bad.
Did you like having those big arrangements behind you?
Absolutely, yes, because you know why? I can truthfully say there is not many if not at all, anybody you can possibly think of at that time was doing anything like that. And I realized then that I knew how to sing, and I knew that I was going to be better. I was going to become a better singer. It became serious to me.
Did it change the kind of material you wanted?
Absolutely. If you look at all the material after that, it was all different.
Different in what way?
Oh, it was sophisticated. We were into four-part modern harmony, doing things like the Hilos were doing and the Freshmen. We were doing jazz. We were doing things that no group from Brooklyn or New York City would ever think of going or even trying to even attempt to do. We were way ahead of our time.
Now, I think I remember you doing splits and things like that in the
rock and roll
shows.
We were a high energy group also.
Yeah.
Yes. We're a high energy group. We were out of the same mold as the Flamingos and the Traineers and those kind of groups. We just took a little of everything. We got smitten, so to speak, with show business. We ended up with William Morris, and they began to open doors for us in Vegas and Lake Tahoe and Reno. We started playing the great hotels, the great rooms. You just cannot imagine. That was a wonderful time in my career.
Now, a lot of people really didn't want to go from rock and roll or rhythm and blues into the Vegas lounges, but there was a period where it was the only place to go if you wanted to make more money and go to the next step.
Yeah, I don't think it's so much that they didn't want to go, rather than they didn't have the material or the show or the act to go. I mean, you just don't go to them and say, hey, I'm going to go in your lounge. There's a certain type of audience that was in those lounges, you know? They've seen them all. I mean, these people have seen every great performer in the world came through those lounges. You can't go in there ram-a-lam and ding-dong. You have to be able to perform at a high, high level. And I think a lot of them were scared and didn't seek it.
You said that you've had to play every single kind of place imaginable.
Mm-hmm.
You spent a lot of time in the Vegas lounges, but I think you also played a lot of places on the road that weren't quite a swank, where you'd even have to maybe threaten the person to get your money that you were owed.
Oh, yeah, everybody did. We weren't unique. That's chauvinist, man. That goes back in the far back. The first court jester came out with some little beads or something and balls on his head and jumped around and somebody ripped him off or something, you know, the king, the court jester. Now, that's the norm. Yeah, let me give you a little story that I'm going to make it brief, but it blew my mind. We, in 1975, got to the point that we worked the Waldorf Astoria, now one of the most prestigious rooms in the world in the Waldorf Astoria. We got the Imperials and I got one of the best write-ups from the critics in town you can ever, ever want in that day. The next week after we left the Waldorf, we were over in Jersey at Jimmy's Bar and Grill, you know what I mean? What a disastrous contrast. I mean, sitting over a smoke-filled thing with a bunch of guys with cigars blowing in your face, you know, with waiters coming past you, man, with, you know, with food in the hand and plates dropping all over the place and fights in the back. Oh, we knew that was the end.
So what do you want to happen next with your career now?
In my career, I want to be the best that I can be as a performer. I think that I'm a better singer and a performer than I've ever been in my whole career now. Now, ask me why. I am not really sure. I've always been a late bloomer. I didn't even shave till I was 35 years old. I mean, who knows what that is? Maybe it's genes. I don't know why. I feel I am as comparable and I could be as mainstream a recording artist as anybody today. Now, that sounds very egotistical. Well, I mean it to be that way. I mean it to be that way in case record people hear this thing. I will tell you, you're blowing it. I'm good. I'm real good. I'm a pro. I know what I'm doing as a singer.
You want to record again?
I want to record again, and there's no reason why I shouldn't be. Absolutely no reason at all.
What is the reason why you haven't been?
Political. It's politics. It's a youth-orientated market, and there are a lot of people in recording, you know, they have their problems, man. You know, they have to keep that stuff going out there and getting hits. It's competitive, you know? I understand their problems, but listen, the same thing happened with Tina Turner, bless her heart. See? Nobody saw her. Nobody knew. She was comparable. She was able to hold her own, and they found her. Bang, you know? I say that because I want them to know that I think that I can hold my own.
Anthony, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.